The topic of today's shiur is, are non-Jews obligated in the mitzvah of kibud av v'em? The starting point for our discussion is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, also paralleled by a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, where the same story is told, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. It says, Shalu et Rabbi Eliezer ad Heichan Kibud av v'em. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, to what extent is one required to honor his parents? Amar lahem, he said to them, Se'u r'u ma'asa ovi kochavi mechad la'aviv v'ashkelon. He said to them, go and see what one idolater did for his father in Ashkelon. V'dama ben Netina shemo. His name was Dama ben Netina. Pam achad bikshu mimenu avanim la'ifod. There was a time when the Chachamim came to his home because they needed jewels for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. B'shishim ribu ischar, and they were willing to give him 600,000 coins as payment for these jewels. Rav Kahana matne b'shmonim ribui. Rav Kahana said it was 800,000. And the keys, however, for the jewels, for the treasure box, were under his father's pillow. And he did not wake him up. He did not bother him. He let him sleep. The Gemara then goes on. And it says, "Ashana acheret noldu la para aduma bedro nichlasuchach miyisrael etzlo." And then, in another year, it so happened that he had in his flock a birth of a red heifer, and the chachamim came to him. Amar lahem, he said to the chachamim, "Yodea ani b'chem she'im ani b'akesh mikem kol mamon shebalam atem not nimli." He said, "I know that you'll give me any money that I would desire for this red heifer that you need for your ritual. Achshav, ein vakesh mikem ela oto mamon shivstadati bishvil abba." He said, "But I only asked for the amount of money that I would have been paid for the jewels, which I could not do because I did not agree to wake my father up." Beautiful story about how far one should go for the mitzvah of kibud av v'em, and there are many elements in this Gemara that are addressed by Rishonim and Achronim. We are only dealing, as we said, with the subject matter of, are non-Jews obligated in the honor of their parents? Now, Lechora, the answer should be, of course they're not. Because we all know that there are Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. There are seven Noachite laws, and as we well know, honoring your parents is not one of them, and if it was one of them, then be eight Noahide laws and not seven Noahide laws. So it seems clear and simple, initially in approaching this question, that there is no doubt that non-Jews are not obligated in honoring their parents. And yet, our Gemara, when it asked how far must a person go when it comes to honoring his parents to fulfill this mitzvah, the Gemara brings a case of a non-Jew, of an idolater, as if he does have an obligation, it would seem. However, if we look at Rashi, and I don't see Mefarshi mentioning this, but it seems from Rashi clearly, he states, that non-Jews do not have an obligation. As he says, that the reason why it was asked how far do you have to go, and they bring the case by a non-Jew and the way he fulfilled his honor for his parents, Rashi says, "V'kol shekein Yisrael shemitzuveh al kach." If even a non-Jew has to go to this degree in order to give honor to his parents, Rashi says, all the more so does a Jew have to go this far and beyond in honoring his parents, because he is commanded upon honoring his parents, and a non-Jew is not. So it's clear from Rashi, from this Rishon, that, as we would think, non-Jews are not obligated in honoring their parents. And so I would have stopped there, except that in the Sefer B'Shem Omram, which is a Sefer not as well known as some of the others about the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik, so there, on page 75, the Rav has a discussion about various elements that are brought down in the Tochacha and the Brachos and the Klalos in Parshat Ki Tavo, and the Rav suggests that all of the elements that are brought there, in terms of where it says, cursed be this person who violates this law, that all of those elements, including one that has to do with cursed be one who's makla aviva imo, someone who doesn't show proper respect or curses his parents. So there it also includes this particular law. And Rav Soloveitchik says that all the laws there that are included have to do not only with Jews, but also with B'nai Noach. And it's interesting that I have found that not only does the Rav say this, but usually when a Gadol says something, you can find Chaverim who share the same thought. If one takes a look at the Malbim in Parshat Ki Tavo, the Malbim says the same exact thing as the Rav regarding these elements. He says, this is on page 1598, the Malbim on Chumash, that these elements have to do with Derech HaMusar and Ikrei Torah. And he says, Linear Atam Chadash Ki Kol Yud Aleph Devarim Rubam Kekulam Nitztu Aleihem Gam B'nei Noach. So he says also that most of the elements included here, generally it's the same elements as for B'nei Noach. And thereby would seem that the Malbim as well is considering the fact that non-Jews would be obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbud Avaim, as Rav Soloveitchik is now putting forth that view. What is the proof for Rav Soloveitchik, who, by the way, also says that Rishonim, there are Rishonim, he says, who paskin this way. It does not name who these Rishonim are. It would be somewhat helpful to know who they were, because they are not easily found. But the Rav said that there are Rishonim who hold this way. What Rishonim? What Rishonim are they who hold with this particular view? So Soloveitchik says that it cannot be that the Rambam holds this way. Why not? Because of the Zayin Mitzvah B'nei Noach, under what rubric of the seven are you going to place the mitzvah of honoring one's parents? We know that the seven are seen by many as being categories under which other mitzvahs can be put down. So under which of the seven, asked the Rav, would you include Kibud Av Eim? And he concludes that it can only be the mitzvah of Dinim. And he said it can only be that way according to the view of the Ramban, not of the Rambam. We know in Parshat Vayishlach, we have the famous case of Shimon and Levi killing Bnei Shechem when they were involved in the rape of Dinah. And of course the question is asked, what gave them the right to tell them to circumcise themselves and then to slaughter them all? And we know that the Rambam says that because everyone there violated the precept of Dinim, which obligates, according to the Rambam, a society to set up a system of judges and courts in order to oversee the commitment and observance of the other six laws of the Noahide Code. So, Dinim, according to the Rambam, could in no way incorporate in it the mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim. It has nothing to do with it. However, according to the Ramban, who disagrees with the Ramban disagrees because, first of all, Dinim is a mitzvah saseh. It's not a mitzvah lo taseh. There's no death penalty for this particular mitzvah of Bnei Noach. Furthermore, he says that he disagrees with the Rambam in terms of what the entire mitzvah is, the entire notion of dinim. He says that it includes a command to create an entire legal system which will govern society, all sorts of laws of all types. Under this category of dinim, according to the view of the Ramban, says the Rav, it is possible to have a notion of Kibud Av Aim. Now, seemingly, it's kind of unclear how that is the case. Kibud Av Aim does not seem to be a legal element, which is what dinim seems to be. It seems to be a moral or ethical element. So it's hard, perhaps, to understand. One of my Balabatim, Dr. Nachum Klafter, when we discussed this in the Shir, suggested, and I think perhaps he is right, that the idea of Kibud Av Aim is basically the foundation for the idea of authority within society. It begins within the family and the respect of children for parents. And without the notion of authority and authority figures, you will not be able to have a concept of law and order in society with judges and courts and policemen and whatever else. So thereby, we will suggest that's what perhaps the Rav means, that according to the Ramban, therefore, Kibud Av Aim could be an aspect of the notion of dinim. And Rav Shimshon Paul Hirsch, by the way, in his commentary on Chumash, as we'll get to in a moment, another aspect, the commentary I believe that I'm referring to is found in Parshat Noach, concerning Noach and his children. So there he says clearly that Kibud Av Aim is, in fact, a building block of all of society and of the entire world. And as we have said, or Soloveitchik says, it is obligatory as well upon Bnei Noach. I should also point out that in Family Redeemed, the Rav discusses this issue a little bit as well about honoring of parents. And he brings a Rambam. I just happen to notice that the Rambam he brings, which is found in Hilchot Mamrim, Vav Zayin, one Rambam says, quoting from the Gemara in Kiddushin, not our Gemara, a similar question that was asked here, how far must one go in honoring one's parents? And the Rambam there brings down the Gemara Kedushin, which says that even if your parents would take away from you a golden purse and cast it into the sea, and still you cannot shame them, you cannot display anger with them, but you have to respect them, even in that situation. So we might ask the question, why is it that the Rambam brings that case and he doesn't bring the case here that we've seen of Dama ben Natina? And the answer, I think, would support Rav Soloveitchik that, as he said, the Rambam could not hold that non-Jews are obligated in the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'im under the rubric of dinim because of his understanding of dinim. And therefore, that's why the Rambam, I would say, seems to ignore this case of the non-Jew fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'im and bringing instead another case that indicates how far one must go for this mitzvah, because the Rambam does not hold that it's applicable for non-Jews. So in order not to confuse people, therefore, he does not bring a case of Kibud Av Aim by the situation of non-Jews. But we said, as the Rav pointed out, that the Ramban could, in fact, hold that it's relevant to non-Jews as well. For Soloveitchik, also aside from bringing our Gemara in Avodah Zarah as somewhat to him as evidence, although without quoting Rashi, I should point out, as evidence that Kibud Av Aim is relevant to non-Jews, as this case talks about non-Jews, also does bring views from Tosfos, who holds clearly that the mitzvah is not relevant by non-Jews. So he is including that view and not ignoring it. A Gemara in Nazir Daf Samach Aleph Amud Bet. But furthermore, the Rav, in support of his view, brings from Breishis Rabba a Medrash discussing the fact that Esav, as we know, fulfilled the mitzvah of Kibud Av Aim, and how this Medrash says that because Esav had this mitzvah in his hand, that as a result, others wanted to join with him and give him respect and attach themselves to him because he fulfilled this mitzvah so well. That would be an indication, says the Rav, that indeed non-Jews, Esav is the model of a non-Jew, even though he's the Ben Yaakov, that non-Jews are in fact, with Esav as an example, obligated in the mitzvah kibud av v'aim. Of course, one could suggest that one is not obligated in the mitzvah kibud av v'aim, it's just that Esav fulfilled that mitzvah, but the Rav would like to suggest otherwise. I should also make the point, in terms of understanding, perhaps in another way, if it's not under the laws of dinim, under one of the seven, as the Ramban suggests, according to the Rav, it's interesting, in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, there on Daf Shin Nun Chet, in asking this question, it first suggests that Bnei Noach are not obligated in the midst of Kibud Av V'Aim, and then a statement is made, v'yesh mishkatav shemikol makom kiblu aleihem mimot olam kibud av v'aim. It's possible that even though they were not initially obligated, that they accepted this mitzvah upon themselves. A new idea, it seems, we have a notion in Judaism of kiblu aleihem, or of Jews accepting various things upon themselves, including accepting other mitzvahs upon themselves. Davening Mariv is an example that comes to mind. They can accept other mitzvahs upon themselves. It's not considered to be adding to their Torah. And so too here, it would seem, that non-Jews, according to one perspective that he brings here, the name of the Nachal Eshkol, holds that the non-Jews, this view holds, can accept upon themselves as well additional mitzvahs that they have obligated themselves in. I'm not talking about individual mitzvahs that a non-Jew personally chooses to do. The Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim that a non-Jew who wants to fulfill mitzvahs except for Limud HaTorah and except for Shabbos observance can indeed fulfill mitzvahs, and he gets rewarded for those mitzvahs, ke'eino mitzuvah v'osa, like someone who is not commanded and yet receives reward. And here we are seeing the idea that Bnei Noach in general, not as individuals, but in general, accepted upon themselves for all time the notion of Kibud Av V'Aim. So really, this is saying there really is an eighth mitzvah. There's seven mitzvahs that were obligatory upon non-Jews, as we know from the obligation of the Noahide Code that was imposed upon them. And this, you would be saying that there are other mitzvahs, potentially, we're looking now at Kibud Av V'Aim, where non-Jews accepted upon themselves this particular mitzvah. It was self-imposed, like a neder, as opposed to being imposed by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And from where did this stem, this notion of non-Jews accepting this upon themselves? So it suggested, again, it's in the sources brought by the Encyclopedia Talmudit, that at the time when Cham, uncovered his father, Noah, and he disgraced him. And he was thereby punished as a result, while his other sons who covered them up were then rewarded by God. So because of this Maisa Shahaya at the beginning of creation almost, at the time of Noah at least, so that's why non-Jews accepted upon themselves to honor their parents so as to receive reward and not a curse for this activity. I would like to just point out in support of this thought that there could be other mitzvahs besides the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach that non-Jews are obligated, or at least that non-Jews keep. The Rambam himself brings down other aspects of the laws of Noachide. If I recall, he says in Hilchos Malachim that non-Jews, for example, cannot graft certain things together, and that's something that is a halacha of an oral tradition and not clearly stated of the Noahide laws per se. But I have found as well another such example in the Shiel Tot of, we know, Rav Chai Gaon. So there in Shiel Kuf Samach Hey, it says, "Mechayevim Beit Yisrael lemin sein nashe valude banai." It says that Jews are obligated to marry and to have children, umiyasek papiri varibya, and to engage in the activity of being fruitful and multiplying. Dichtiv kechun nashim v'leidu vanim vanot. Says there's a mitzvah for them to do this. Below me by Israel. However, not only do we have to say that this is an obligation upon Jews, Ela afilu oved kochavim, even non-Jews, even idolaters, says the Shiel Tot, Mifkedei apirya beribya, Dichtiv yatem peruvu. Even non-Jews are obligated in the mitzvah to procreate, as it says, obviously, in the opening statements of creation, that God commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. Of course, we've always wondered, wasn't this clearly stated to the non-Jews? Why isn't it counted as one of the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? And the answer most Rishonim say is because basically that was only a temporary mitzvah. It was given to them in order to fulfill the notion of populating the world at the outset of creation, which God needed in order for His world to exist. But after this was done initially, then that mitzvah was taken from them and no longer is germane to them. However, the Shilta, as you say, the Shilta of Rav Chai Gaon, holds that in fact it is a mitzvah even today for non-Jews to engage in peruvu. Now, whether that means that they have taken it upon themselves as a mitzvah, as we've cited other sources, because otherwise it seems like you have eight mitzvahs, not seven, is something that needs to be investigated. But certainly we have found a Rishon, if not the Rishon, who says that non-Jews are obligated in Kibud Av V'Em, as Rav Soloveitchik alluded to without saying who that Rishon was. Although again, he pointed out he wanted to derive it from the Ramban, but he doesn't quote anyone clearly who says it. Yet here, at least we have support for the Rav in terms of that being a possibility, that you could have a mitzvah beyond the Noahide laws, the seven Noahide laws, as is shown in the mitzvah peruvu being relevant to non-Jews, says the Shiel Tot. Now, again, my congregant Nachum Klafter suggested, since according to the Rav was only willing to count Kibud Av V'Em under the rubric of one of the seven general categories for Noahide, so how would he apply this, even if he held by it, a Peruvu? How does he understand that this could possibly apply to a non-Jew? Would it have to be another category, would it not? What would you put it under the seven Noahide laws? And Dr. Klafter in class suggested that perhaps it could come under the mitzvah for the Noahides of Lo Tirtzach. As strange as that sounds, Lo Tirtzach, we know, often is described in Chazal as not only being a mitzvah of not killing, but a mitzvah of procreating, of creating life. For example, Chazal say very famously that anyone who is not osek in Puria Viribya, anyone who is not engaged in Puria Viribya, it's like he's shofech damim. Or again, anyone who spills the seed, it's like as if he has been shofech damim. So Chazal say, if you are not busy populating the world, in a sense you are shedding blood by not creating life. And perhaps, as Dr. Klafter suggested, my congregant, this is what the Shiltot would say in terms of under what category the mitzvah purvu, which is relevant to non-Jews, would have to come under. And finally, just one other aspect which would lend support to the idea, really the chiddush that we're giving in this shir, that non-Jews can somehow be obligated beyond what we normally think of as the basic seven Noahide laws, be it they are obligated in something else that we integrate into one of those laws, be it it's something that they, as we have said, accepted upon themselves. Another piece of evidence for such a view among halachic authorities and mefarshim is to be found in the Igros Moshe by Rav Moshe Feinstein. This is in Orach Chaim, the second chelek, Simon Kaf He, where there the Shaila was asked as follows to Rav Moshe. This took place in 1963. The question was asked to Rav Moshe, what about school prayer? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Prayer in public schools. And in discussing that, Rav Moshe says, although things have changed by the Agudas Yisrael post-game today, but Rav Moshe said that prayer may be a good thing in public schools because it also thereby gets non-Jews to offer prayer to Hashem. Now, of course, one will say, what do you mean? Non-Jews have no obligation, do they, to daven to Hashem? And Moshe Feinstein disagrees. He says that, in fact, if they have a need to pray, he says, "Hu mechuyev mamish," a non-Jew is obligated absolutely, be it for praying for a sick person, be it in praying for parnasa, he has an obligation to pray. This is a huge chiddush. It reminds me of, we know, Rav Soloveitchik puts a famous machloket to rest, in a sense, in a most profound way, in a famous explanation he has in the machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban, about tefillah being minat Torah, midarabanan. We all know that the Rambam holds that tefillah is minat Torah. The Ramban holds that tefillah is only midarabanan. So how do you deal with this? Do you just say that it's based on the different sources that they look at? That it says in the Torah, ula uvdo b'chol v'abchem, you shall serve God with all your heart, and that the Rambam holds, yes, this is to be taken as a Torahic obligation, and the Ramban just holds, as he says, that this is an asmachta, it's just rabbinic. Is this what it really is to be understood as, the whole machlokas? And the Rav, beautifully in the Reflections of the Rav, in that work, explains that the Rambam's notion and the Ramban's notion is really based on the same theory. What is that theory? The theory is that one is obligated to pray in only one situation, when one has a great need to pray, when one is in crisis. The Ramban, points out the Rav, even the Ramban holds that when one is in crisis, when there is a need to fast due to economic situations or lack of food or illness or destruction or war or plague, even the Ramban agrees, as is put forth in his commentary in Parshat Baalotcha, even there one must cry out to Hashem on a Talmudic level in a time of crisis. Ah, says the Rav, so that's the Machlokas. They both agree that on a Talmudic level one must daven in a time of crisis. But how do you define a time of crisis? According to the Ramban, as we just saw, a time of crisis is what the Rav calls a surface crisis. That is to say that when outer elements of one's existence in society cause one to be in crisis. As opposed to this, the Rambam, his view is that crisis is defined by what he calls death crisis or existential crisis, which means it's not necessarily the outer environment which creates the crisis for the living human being, but that crisis is part of the very aspect of being alive, of being human, of having thoughts and feelings, and a desire to know what one's mission is in life, and what one's purpose is, and what he is here for. And it could be absolutely irrelevant what is happening around him in terms of being a part of this crisis. It's just an aspect of living that generates this crisis. So the Rav explained that this is the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, but saying that all agree that when one has a crisis, one must daven. The Rambam holds that you have to daven every day, Minat Torah, because the person is always in crisis. According to Rav Soloveitchik, he says in one of his writings, I recall, like Descartes said, I think, therefore I am, that the Rav holds that going with the Rambam is his reflection of how he related to the Jewish spirit the most. He said, the Rav did, that the Jewish perspective is, I think, therefore I am in crisis. I think, therefore I am in crisis. Just thinking puts one into crisis. That was the Rambam's view. And therefore one has to pray every day, Minat Torah, where according to the Ramban, the crisis is only from outer threats, which are only thereby needed to generate prayer in those specific situations, but not on a daily basis. So to here, my point, is that Rav Moshe Feinstein says that while there is not per se a separate mitzvah of the Zion mitzvah B'nei Noach upon a non-Jew to daven, when a non-Jew feels a need out of his crisis scenario, and described by Rav Moshe, however, with the Ramban's explanation of outer surface crisis, like when someone is sick, he says, or when a person needs parnasa, then there is no doubt, says Rav Moshe. While it's not obligatory, but, you know, per se, from the Zionist of B'nai Noach, but when a non-Jew will feel this need to ask for something, then indeed it does become obligatory for him to daven and to daven to Hashem for what he needs. Because Hashem Yisbarach is the source for everything that he is committed to, that he believes in, this Ben Noach. As the Rambam says in his famous statement in Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam Shita is that a person, in order to be a Ben Noach and have a place in the world to come, the Rambam says he must observe the Noahide laws out of a commitment to the fact that that's how those laws were commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ribono Shel Olam at Har Sinai. It is not enough, the Rambam says, for one to just observe those laws out of his own recognition of their value. He must do so out of a religious sense, that he believes in the Sinaitic experience of Klal Yisrael and in Matan Torah, which is to understand, as we've explained before, online in our shiurim on Noahide laws, that the Rambam is saying that there's really only one religion. There is Judaism. Judaism includes 613 mitzvot for Jews and Zion mitzvot for non-Jews who they themselves recognize God and Har Sinai as the source of their obligations. And thereby, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that based on this Rambam, a non-Jew who must keep the Noahide laws, understanding that they were demanded of him by the Ribbono Shel Olam, that same non-Jew clearly, he says, when in need, since he must recognize Ribbono Shel Olam as the source of his life and his ethical norms on this earth anyway, must so too recognize Ribbono Shel Olam as the source for all his needs as well. In concluding, we have seen, therefore, that from initially thinking the question to be almost nonsensical, that non-Jews could be obligated in another mitzvah, when we know they're only obligated in Zion mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, so how could they be obligated in Kibud Av V'Aim? And yet we have seen discussions, be it in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and its parallel in Kedushin, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in his shir, where he obligates non-Jews in Kibud Av V'Aim according to the laws of Dinim, according to the view of the Ramban, be it in terms of other mitzvahs like Peruvu or davening, be it in terms of taking obligations upon themselves, a big chiddush, and thereby that somehow now obligating them as non-Jews in general, not as individuals. Whatever aspects one considers, still, it is clear that question is one that is meaningful and worthy of discussion.